I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And back for the preview of round three. Timmy Witt, what's going on, buddy?
Not a lot, big boy. Welcome back.
Good to be back, mate, and good to have you back. I rocked a solo last week, sleepless off night shift, but now I've got someone to talk to rather than the voices in my head, which is always a positive thing.
Mate, happy to help you. I imagine a little bit delirious after night shift, mate. I'll keep your eyes propped open tonight. That's no probs.
Mate, always good to talk footy with someone, especially a good friend and someone who knows what they're talking about. But let's rip in. Let's preview round three. Thanks to bluebet.com.au. If you're going to bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the True Blue Bookie. Download the app today or visit the website. Unfortunately, I'm yet to break the bank on the charity account yet. I had a double crack on the weekend. Matty Tomoko, he was very, very close and destructive, but no four-pointer. And Tyrell Sloan, two foot races with a hammer. First time, got shepherded off the ball. Second time, heading for the corner. The old punch out on the 80th minute and me almost punching a hole through the flat screen TV.
Yeah, that's not a great show for the Dragons. And waiting to the last minute to watch another bet go down, mate. That's life, unfortunately.
Yeah, but this at last year, I think I went 0-4, and then I rattled off 4 or 5 in a row. So hopefully, can bank some money over the next few weeks. Let's try to find some winners and let's talk some footy. First up, blockbuster Thursday night again out here at Bluebet Stadium, aptly named. It's the Panthers up against the Broncos, the grand final rematch. Unfortunately, a little bit of the gloss taken away with some of the changes found out today. Payne Haas, knee surgery, they don't quite know what yet, so they're going to scope it. He's looking at 4 to 6 weeks. Reynolds also missing, so Willison and Baker step in along with Jock Madden. And for the Panthers, they're pretty confident that Fisher-Harris doesn't have a serious problem, but they're not giving a time frame just yet on his shoulder. So Dane Laurie holds his bench spot, and also Eisenhuth record, but I'm feeling a late move possibly. It's cut to 19. They've got Sony and they've got Mav. Mav travelled the other week to Melbourne. I don't know if this is the week, but mind you, now that Haas is missing, it may be the week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in late, maybe for Eisenhuth.
Yeah, possibly, mate. Look, as a Penrith fan, you don't want to see one of your best players and your go-to man in Fisher-Harris get out, but I'm pretty excited to get some more minutes into Liam Henry and also Lindsay Smith. I've been a fan of Lindsay's for years. Actually played a bit of cricket with the kid, but he, he's been long touted to be, a player of the future, even going back to when he was in the 16. So it's pleasing to see in the last few years he's starting to come of age. But you know, him getting named in the starting lineup and also Liam Henry getting some minutes. Like, as a fan, I want to see that next progression come through. As much as you don't want Fish to be out, look, it probably works in Penrith's favour with Haas being out. Like, that's massive. That's a big chunk of their go forward. That's everything's off the back of their forwards. Whether Mav comes in, I probably think that they might stick with Henry and Smith and given the first crack to really rip in at this stage of the year. But the fact that Mav's already travelling and going through, it's good signs. The Sonny Luke one is interesting because I was still, even on, for full disclosure, I was out on the hill on last Friday night and had 1,000 beers. So I was a little bit all over the place when trying to work out how Laurie was going to work in. And I still didn't really get a grasp on where he would work. So I could see Sonny Luke coming on the back if they are a bit light on in the engine room for the Bronx. But it is pleasing to see Laurie get named all the same. But I think it's going to be too many outs for the Broncos. Just a touch too far at the minute. And I think Penrith last week, a lot went against Parramatta. Like, don't get me wrong. I know you boys covered it in the recap, but guys defending out of position and a few injuries and being down to low interchanges, yeah, it probably worked against Parra, but I thought also Penrith were pretty strong and they went back to that controlling the game. But I actually fired a couple of punches this week as opposed to the Melbourne game, and that's probably a testament to Melbourne as much as Penrith were clunky. Probably see Penrith a little bit too strong in this one, mate. How about you?
Yeah, I think similar. I do think Jock Madden's fairly competent, much like a lot of guys. You get a look at him and they play for a team like the Tigers or a lesser team, and people throw rocks at him. But the few cracks he's got with Brisbane, surrounded by good talent, he's been good. So adequate, but he's definitely not Reynolds, and he's up against Cleary. I think it's another week where you look at a Walsh. He had a lot of individual brilliant moments last week. He played a lot of first receiver. You sort of saw the kicking game that you saw at the Warriors pre-Johnson when they used to lean on him for a lot. So I think you'll see a very heavy Reece Walsh night, but at the same time, I think Penrith will be onto that. And no doubt, again, you take Haas out, that's a really big blow. They usually sort of struggle in that interchange period without him. So now you're asking Jensen, Baker, Willison, Tapu, like all these guys are really going to have to carry that load. And like Pat Carrigan works himself to a standstill every week. But I think in
For
tandem
sure.
with Haas, it's a much stronger thing. Whereas for Penrith, what you've just said probably makes more sense. If they roll Sony in or they use Dane, it's probably as a nine just to release Kenny to get some extra middle minutes if they don't want to lean into somebody for too long. But Liam Henry's few 30-minute stints have been good. Lindsay looks like he's getting better. But yeah, I just think Penrith overall at home, probably that I think those other two blows on the other side as compared to Fisher hurt a lot more. And I think they'll want to really, hit home a point here and kick them while they've got a few that missing.
I thought last week the Broncos as well, like they sure show a bit of disregard for when they've got the ball in hand. Like they're happy to make a mistake, and South matched them with that. Like it was a clunky game. The first half was pretty rugged. You're not going to get that at Penrith, but I also think like a lot of their attack and a lot of their shape was off the back of Walsh. Like you're exactly right with the Warriors style of Walsh, and he's coming into his own. Like the kid is an absolute freak. But I think Mam's got to step up. Like with Madden coming in, this is the chance for Mam to probably take a bit more of a leadership role in the halves there. Same with Billy Walters as well, coming out of nine. But yeah, it's going to work against him in this phase. But yeah, I think Mam's got to step up as much as give Walsh that support, because without the go forward, I don't you'd think that Walsh is going to be getting great favorable sort of field position. He'll be kicking early, kicking from the deep. He's got the leg to do it, but the roll on, I think, with Penrith and I thought Sorensen and Kenny were big inclusions for the second round. And Mitch Kenny's defense sort of holds Penrith together. It really is underrated. You don't know what you're missing until he's out. And I think Panthers will be too hard. And it's a shame that this game is A on a Thursday night. And I sort of had a crack at the
TV is
start of the
unfortunate.
season.
It's all about bloody TV.
This should have been a Friday night game. That being said, I can understand why it's a Thursday night game this round when you've got a blockbuster on the Friday night and arguably rivalry match of the round on Sunday. I understand that, but how you haven't spread this out to be a Friday night game is A, the first issue. The second issue, it's unfortunate there's a few injuries that are going to take a bit of shine away from this, but sort of Channel 9 will get their money, and that's sort of all that matters at the moment.
I said, yeah, the last few years I felt like Melbourne as well has been penciled for a lot of those sort of Thursdays and big games. And when, as a person who wants to travel, you always look at a Thursday game and go, well, that's no good. Got to have 2 days off. You've got to get down there. But most of the time it's, all right, this works on TV. They're not a really good audience for us on most other days. So when it's a Brisbane or a Penrith Storm or, a game like that, they're like generally a Thursday or a day that you're sort of like, well, sort of takes the shine off it, but it rates well. So a bit like that for Penrith since they've obviously.
And I think there'll still be a decent,
Oh,
yeah,
we
and I
know
think
what
there'll
Griff's
still be a
like.
decent crowd out there tomorrow night. Penrith fans are traveling hard and fast now, and it's well worth it. And you can be a bit bleary-eyed on Friday, no problems, mate, and push through it. So,
Plenty of 3 day
should be a good
weekends
game, but I
coming up.
think it'll go Penrith's way.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of 3 day
Yeah, that's
weekends,
right.
I'd say. But let's look at it. Bluebet.com.au. They're $1.25 favorite. The Broncos, massive outsiders, $4. 11.5 start. I'm not big on it. I think Penrith. Still, I still think there'll be some fight, but if, like you said, there's the disregard of last week, if it's very individual, Mariner had come up with a moment, Walsh had some moments. If it's as clunky as what it was against the Penrith team, who I think are going to be lower, high intensity defense, kick, choke, and try and really apply the squeeze, like you said, missing particular halves and put the pressure on those halves, it may turn into a 13 plus, but I wouldn't mess with the line. If I'm going somewhere here, I like the right edge going at Mam. I like Cleary again at that space. I like Liam Martin at that sort of space. So if I was going to have a crack here for Bluebet, that's sort of where I'm looking. And for Cleary, you'd get 320. For Liam Martin, you'd get 375. And on the flip, just because I think he's absolute magic, they may not get many opportunities, but Reece Walsh, you're not going to see him at almost 375 very often. They might only get a limited chance or two, but If I was backing someone for a moment of brilliance and a try scorer on the other side, he's probably the one.
Yeah, agree, mate. It'd be a try scorer bet for me. Probably a little bit too short in that line, a little bit too long to start your weekend. But I'd be backing you in with Cleary there, mate, and Reynolds as well. Sorry, not Reynolds, Martin coming through on that
Like
side with
that
Reynolds
space.
being out. I think that's that space. And you know, even some of the wingers have seen Tango and also Tyre probably a bit too short. But I think Cleary popping up late or pushing through the middle, get a little lobster on that.
Don't mind it at all. So again, $1.25 with BlueBet. The Panthers very short. The Broncos $4. But we move on. The early Friday, good game. Two teams that are traveling well despite one being 0-2. You got the Warriors at Christchurch up against the Raiders, 2-0. Tough, gritty, 90% completions both weeks, doing all the simple things right. The first thing I thought about when I saw this was forward packs. This is two outstanding forward packs going head to head. You got your Fenua Blake, Barnett, Tohu Harris in the middle going head to head with Papali'i, Tarpany, Whitehead's back. Smithies has been good. Hudson Young's a firebrand. And then the rotation that they've been having, which now sees Hosking go back to cover, that back row, middle center type role. I think this one's an absolute belter in terms of the forwards. I think the Warriors for Egan, if he's in, I don't think he will be. That would be a massive inclusion. But the real thing that stood out to me here is number one, real test for Canberra. Not saying anything wrong with the first two wins, but this is, one of the best forward packs you're going to come up against. And we've seen what they've done to Melbourne and Cronulla. And then the biggest test coming here is the fact that if someone can bend their line backwards, edge defense. They look like they really got things going last week with those double leads against Melbourne. This will be the real big test for Ethan Strange and Jamal Fogarty and Whitehead fresh off an injury.
Yeah, I think it's the battle of the big boys. I think both forward packs are A1. And Hosking going back to the bench, like he's still going to see a lot of game time. Obviously, Ricky, they brought him down there. He's with that rotation. Whitehead's probably not going to see out the 80. And, you know, with the age that he is and him coming back in, I think Hosking's still going to see a lot of minutes. But I've loved what I've seen from Canberra to start. Yes, it was the Tigers last week, but that round one, up against Newcastle, everyone expected Newcastle to sort of put him away, and it went the other side. I think Fogarty has been exceptional, but in this case, that heartbreaker for the Warriors on Saturday night against the Storm was something that they'll take into this round. I think they'll get the boom of getting back to their home crowd. Well, in Christchurch, obviously, but I think the Warriors will be too strong. Like that could have been a win. That should have been a win in their books, and it's something they'll take into here. I think the halves. I've loved what I've seen from Ethan Strange, and as I said, yeah, Fogarty's been leading around, perfectly. But I think probably just the Warriors at home is where they're going to get it. But it's going to be a good battle. And if I'm a Canberra fan, like you've loved that you've already put two wins in the bank to start the year,
Exactly.
and this is the real big test now. And over in New Zealand, you want to measure yourself at this time of the year for the Warriors. Once again, you can't treat Canberra with any disrespect with what they've turned out in the first fortnight. It's going to be a great game. Great game to start a Friday night, but for me, it's the Warriors, just ahead.
Yeah, I'm similar. I think this is one I look at again and think, the Raiders are going to complete high. They're going to try to absorb, but I think this is a different story, in particular with the forward pack they're playing this week. They've got a great forward pack themselves, but maybe just needing to bank more points because we know the Warriors, on a whim like they did last week, they put up 26. They busted Melbourne up multiple times, a very good defensive side. So it's more probably just converting in red zone, whereas I know the Warriors can do. But I'm probably looking here. The head-to-head, I was surprised they were as short as they are. I thought maybe it would have been a little bit closer. But with bluebet.com.au, it's $1.39, the Warriors, $3, the Raiders. The 7.5, I'd probably change it myself. I did a nice eight-legger last week, which burned with the Dragons. I went 7 legs. I took a few 10.5 starts myself and pushed a few out. So here, if I can keep that at about $1.60 or $1.50 in a multi, I'd probably stretch. In terms of try scorers, I think the edges is where it's going to be tested. I thought Roger really looked dangerous again last week. I think Rocco Berry as well. So, as much as a good job I think they've done edge so far, I like one of the centers here for the Warriors. It wouldn't surprise me to see Berry or Roger find the try line. And with that, you get 287 for Roger. Rocco Berry, even juicy on that right-hand side, you get 350. He's more likely running at Hopewado, who I really like as a wing and a fullback, but that spot at centre at times can be a bit more different when you're caught on an island with that nice double lead. They run that fan shape. Before you know it, it looks like you've got covered, and then you've got three decisions to make. So, yeah, that's
Yeah, I
probably
mean,
where I'm going.
like the other one short is DWZ finding the paint, did it again on Saturday night, freakish and was then one upped by Coates. But yeah, I'm probably with you with Roger. I think he's been far better to start the year than I'd probably anticipated coming back from rugby union. I thought he was real solid the other night and just probably hasn't found the paint on the other side too. It's the same with Tomoko. Like, I love Matt Tomoko. I thought he was the shining light for them last year. Once again, couldn't cross on the weekend, but I would be leaning on any of those outside backs for the Warriors. The one that could really pop up, which is, is maybe like a Jackson Ford or a Capewell. The second row is coming through as well. I thought Jackson Ford's another one for me that sort of impressed last year and didn't know if he'd start this year with Capewell coming in and others and whatever else. He's held his own. I think realistically, yeah, Warriors head to head would probably be where my money would go, but if you're looking for some try scorers, yeah, centers or back rowers would be where I'd favor.
Well, Jackson Ford with bluebet.com.au, 450 if you like something a bit thicker. Most weeks I look at Finua Blake, but even early the first week, I'm like, he's clearly kicked out of the front rowers club. Most people, you get fives and sixes or higher. He was straight to the fours. He's at four again. Most weeks I do shake my head though, because he does love a crash over. But I think Berry's the one really staring at me with that 350 if I was going to go one of those centres.
He finds an early one too for Noah Blake.
Oh.
Like it's early in the piece when either they're lacking or he just gets it in his mind that he's going to score and takes three with him. But yeah, it's look, as I said, I probably wouldn't favour taking the Raiders with a start at the moment. But I think it's a good watch from as for any Raiders fans there and equally the Warriors. Like this is the one that you want to bounce back, make it one and two, know that you get Melbourne later in the year again to turn that result around and start your season right.
And on top of that, I said this a few times now as well, not to make excuses. If they have to sit on Egan for a few weeks, you do it. I don't think you push all in yet. Murata's still to come. Chance is still to come. Like, if you can get yourself two and two and just hold square for a few weeks until you sort of get everybody back on deck, we always know origin time, they generally surge. Because if they go unscathed and the draw works and they're at home a few times, that's the period where they usually go four out of six, five out of six. They just
I'm
need
trying to
to.
work. Yeah, I'm still trying to work out when, like obviously not Chance, but Chanel Tavita Harris. Like, is he going to get any game time this year? Like, he's obviously had the year off. He's coming back in. Like, I thought he might have been a sneaky at some stage in the 14, but Lussick's made it his own. From all
Plus
reports,
they got
Egan's in this
Walker.
week, and they become a strong one. Well, Walker's doing even not so much. He's more that middle now. Like, he's playing that role with Lussick there, but. Against another team, Walker can give you coverage there, but yeah, it's an interesting one. They've obviously got a major depth of talent in that team. It's a good problem to have if you're a Warriors fan, but you need to get these wins up, and I think this is the one that they do it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If you want a sneaky for the Raiders, just because I think he's lightning, if they give him any space, it's Savage at 250. So that's where I'm going there if they're going to find any love. But yeah, I think ding dong battle between the forwards to watch those guys go head to head. Finua Blake, Tarpany, Papa, etc. That's going to be a great game. But the crowds in New Zealand have been awesome. So looking forward to seeing that one. But we move on to, as you said, the absolute blockbuster Friday night. It doesn't matter how these two teams are going, it's always a cracker game. Roosters, Rabbitohs, 8 o'clock. It's at Allianz. It's Jared Weir's 300th game. He could get arrested. This could absolutely boil over. I love the bloke. He loses his head sometimes, but an occasion this big, I could only imagine him tipping over like a volcano. This could end up in handcuffs in a paddy wagon. Souths have had a very emotional week. This could be just, oh, I can only imagine. I was thinking about going. I honestly thought about driving in just to see what would happen.
Yeah, look, a stalwart at the game, and look, someone's going to get arrested. There's probably a couple in the crowd, no doubt, with this rivalry. As I said, you mentioned, sorry, it doesn't really matter where these guys are sitting, either side is sitting on the table. This is one of the all-time great battles. Roosters. A little bit lackluster last week, but you've seen a lot of changes coming in. So you've seen that they've recalled Angus Crichton, Smith, Watson, Butcher, Michael Jennings in on the extra reserves is something that I didn't think to see this year. Yeah, Jenko's back. Kiri's obviously out with the head knock, and Siwa Wong also just admitted. So there's no injury stuff there. I think the Roosters probably want last Sunday back again. I didn't think they fired all their shots, and I think this is a real opportunity to come back in against Souths on Friday night. There's no bigger incentive than other JWH's 300th. I think it's going to be going off pretty early doors.
And I think, again, what a time to really stick the knife in for, your rival who's hurting and had a lot going on the last couple of weeks. They've had the Ilias stuff this week. Comments about Demetrio, then Mansour come out and made his comments on top of that. You've got the journos questioning this sort of things, the senior players and the fact that, that they've pretty much pushed the number seven out for somebody who's a pretty similar player and can he control the environment? Like, I've had a few messages about Dean Hawkins. I think he's a good player. But I just fail to see with the same weapons and same setup and the key players around him that those senior guys, can he take control of them? Because I don't think you can put it all on Ilias. I also didn't agree that with Campbell Graham out, they then flipped Kalama Tungi to the left edge, which last year, Kalama Tungi plays Origin. Ilias had a pretty good start of the year before things went sideways. They had a really solid right edge there. You've taken, one weapon off him and the other one's been injured. You got Jack back this week. I thought maybe it would have been the week they give him one more sort of chance or have a look at it with a bit more balance in the team. But they've opted to go this way. I don't know if it's the fix, but they've made multiple changes as well. Jack obviously tightens up their left and brings a bit more attack. Mowale comes in to start. Host is into the back row. They've had three different back rows in 3 weeks. Duncan's now on the bench with Burgess and Kepi, and they've pushed a few more out. I sort of look at the Roosters changes and think they're more positive because Crichton on the weekend absolutely brained him, apparently. Set up a couple of tries, had three or four line breaks. Connor Watson, great 14. I remember coaching against Sandon Smith, Central Coast Roosters, thinking this bloke was a nightmare. He played fullback and halves. I think him playing second fiddle there and just running is good. And they're trying to figure out their back row, obviously. They've rolled Wong out, but to get Manu, back on deck with Suwali. Dom Young in last week, good for another run. And I honestly couldn't believe they only lost by seven. They made 20 errors, 13 penalties, and they defended their line. But with Jared's 300th on top of that, I just think they try to really drop the sledgehammer here.
For South, the problem for me isn't so much the halves. Like Ilias has not played well. He's dropped a hell of a lot of ball, and Hawkins, sorry, can, he's steady as. He can get around the park. That's no problems. But it's the forwards for me. Like there's no real punch there. And on the counter argument, the Roosters are stacked, and Tyrell May, you touched on it a couple of weeks ago. Tyrell May's been the forward or the bench forward of the comp for the moment, like where he's just what he's adding to. Still dragged a few in on the weekend. He's dangerous for an offload. As you said, Wong comes out and they bring Angus Crichton, a test player, in off the bench out of the wilderness. It's insane the comparison of the two. And you can add Jack in there and you can, rotate a couple of the things. But I just think that depth, and that's what we sort of touched on at the start of the season. I think the Roosters are going to be too strong. I think their engine room is going to be too big. And on the back of that, whether it's Sandon Smith or Cleary, Cleary, sorry, the difference with that is a lot of their meters are coming out of Tedesco and the outside backs anyhow. So
Yeah, they're a
while
run
you get
first
some
team.
early ball there, which Sandon Smith's going to get to, I think they're going to be equally as dangerous. I think they're somewhat, besides Cleary being out, I think they're arguably stronger across 1 to 17 than they were last week. Whereas Souths, on the other hand, is there's a lot of conjecture going on around there, a lot of discussion. I don't know if plugging Jack in at centre and Hawkins coming in at seven is the fix. Outside of parachuting another three big boppers into their team, I think they're going to struggle against sides like the Roosters, like the Warriors, like Penrith, when the engine room can rotate through, because that's where the damage is going to be done. Any incentive here with the Roosters at 300, regardless of all the changes, that's where my money's going on Friday night.
I think the other thing that kills me sort of as well on that, like, Souths know they can attack. Souths know they can score points, and Souths know they've got talent. Souths refuse, though, to do the hard stuff, the free stuff, and try and win that part of the game that you're talking about. And it's become more apparent since the downfall from last year in those moments. You see these patches like last week where they get a couple of tries, playing direct and playing hard for 5 or 10 minutes, and we saw a couple of patches in Vegas, but you can't just come in and out of football games. You can't be selective about when you want to defend, and you can't be selective about when you want to play through teams or play around them. You have to earn the right. I'm
Yeah,
also
cool.
worried about Cameron Murray. I heard one of the TV blokes say the other night, he looks tired already. I'm just worried for his general well-being and longevity. Like, I hate when he plays on the edge, if I'm being honest, but the way that pack's configured right now, I've got to a point where I'm like, well, is it the worst thing to have him, Keon, tighten up both your edges and your halves. And if you have to start with Tommy and Totola and push all in and have a lighter bench and play less minutes, whether that's Kepi, Duncan, like however you get it done, Havili playing as a small forward, but their middle's a concern, their defense in general is a concern, but it's just all the free stuff that you try to coach into teams and you talk about, treating the footy, cleaning up rucks, cover effort, like just, and then just edge defense for a first grade team. It's not been up to scratch.
Yeah, and look, on the counter argument as well, like they're leaving guys like Egan Butcher and Billy Smith out of the Roosters, who were rock solid for them last year. That's the depth of the talent with Young coming in on one wing. Yeah, I said I'm somewhat off Souths this year, and in the first two rounds, they really haven't shown me that they want to, as you said, earn the right to play footy and do the hard stuff against the Roosters in a rivalry round. Like they will lift, don't get me wrong, but I think at some point in the game, it's going to tip over. And you've essentially got two sevens coming in to take control in Sandon Smith and Hawkins, who it's not like they're favorable with Kiri's out. I think it's like for like in that space. Yet on the in the engine room and the outside backs, the Roosters have it far more over. They have it over South at the moment.
Like I said, these ones you can flip a coin. It doesn't matter what's going on. But with bluebet.com.au at the moment, the Roosters, $1.65 favourite in JWH's 300th. Souths up 225. Again, it's always dangerous, this one, because form isn't really that accurate. But if I'm going to go somewhere here, try scorer-wise, I like Tedesco. I think he's looked really good the first 2 weeks. They're a run-first team, generally in their halves from their nine. And the way their forward pack's been going, but they can't make 20 errors this week. I think if they tighten that up and they do what you need to do to South, which is you can kick the front door in and get some second phase and just play off those guys that are all natural runners, I can see Tedesco popping up, whether it be the edge, through the middle, somewhere, and maybe grabbing himself a meat pie. So he's the first one sort of there at 250. The other one, which will be a great matchup, is Manu against Jack White. But the fact that
Yeah,
Jack
for sure.
hasn't played, he can be very aggressive at times. He likes to come in like a heat-seeking missile. I think it's a good thing at times, but you can also leave your outside man vulnerable. And if there's a bloke who can dance like a duck on a hot plate, it's Joseph Manu. So I think that could get a little bit testy if he tries to jam him and he comes up short. And if he leaves Cody Walker on his own, I'll take
Yeah.
Joseph Manu any day of the week in that matchup.
Look, and one for the Roosters fans, the milestone game, the
Oh,
milestone
yeah.
man. Jared Weary Hargraves, $10 anytime try scorer. Do they try and find the big man in? Like if that goes on, someone will get arrested on Friday
Oh,
night if he crosses the paint. But
mate,
yeah,
he'll
we'd
drop the
love to
George
see
Foreman sandwich press in someone's face and go over if he gets a crash line. He'll be going.
it. $10, he might get a couple of weeks holiday just to drag out the
Yeah.
all times game record for later in the year. But
Yeah.
yeah, Rooster's too strong for me, mate.
I'm looking forward to it because, like we said, regardless of how things are going, things boil over, but I'll be interested to see the response because it's been a rough few weeks from the racism issue and the emotion that come from some of the South players into this week with the talk about JD, senior players, Ilias. Like, it's pretty simple in rugby league. If you want things to be quiet, regardless of what's going on off the field, you win games. South could quieten things down, but we're going to see once they hit the field where things are heading. But very interesting and looking forward to that one. But we move on to Saturday now. Dogs Titans kick things off at 3 o'clock. At Belmore. I know for the diehard Doggies fans, it's always a good time at Belmore, but as a spectator at home, this one, I could not use your money, someone else's money. There's not much. And I was going to sit here before and go, you know what? Sadly, I think I could smell an upset, but they're actually the favourite. The Dogs are the favourite at Belmore. So shows what the bookies think of the Titans after their first performance.
Yeah, look, if you're a Dogs fan, what I think is going to work in their favour this week is if you're a fan, you probably penciled in this round at Belmore as a win to start the year. Like, this is the one you would have had circled saying we can pick up two here. And for me, if Serrato's behind the scenes having any buy-in and there's a bit of improvement across the side, this is the game to do it. Look, for any mug punter out there, the Golden Slipper's on and there's a heap of other bets you can go and have a crack at. It is 3 o'clock on a Saturday, but if you are a diehard, I'm tipping the Bulldogs here. I am still not sold on their setup with Taff at the back and Burton. I've said I subscribe to the theory that Burton is a centre more than a six. I think Hutchison or even Taff could have gone to the halves. There's a whole range of things that could go there. They're sport for choice without any real great option. But On the counter side, Titans are still riddled with injuries. They got absolutely walloped round one by the Dragons, who then turned up and got pumped last week. This is at Belmore. This is the home of the Bulldogs. Like, that's working in it as to why it's a close to head-to-head better, $1.80 at the moment. It's, yeah, I wouldn't be touching it with a barge pole, but I think this is the game for the Dogs to right some wrongs from the first two rounds and really try to come out and punch forward. Crichton to lead from the front. I used to think Marnie to be a bit more active out of nine is really going to be needed. It's going to be strange. Tino comes back in. Tino's the one shining light for me in the Titans, who could probably drag their forwards and drag some guys with him, but I don't see it happening. It's a bit of a bludger.
And for them, like missing Campbell still,
Campbell style.
foreign in is a massive in because they really struggled, particularly inside 20 in attack the first week. They look a bit more conservative, but I think he's just constructed it more conservatively. To have Randall start instead of Verrills, you got Cleese on an edge at the moment because they're missing Fifita, they're missing Jaden Campbell, Brimson in the centres. Like I do like Kinney, but he's young. I just think for them at this point in time, looking at their team. I would have preferred to have AJ touching the ball more at the back until you get Campbell back, and then maybe you reshuffle things and Tino with Mo, like that's strong. But yeah, for Moore, I think he's going to be really good. But if he pulls 8 to 10 games together, you're not going to see the best of him yet. But like Haas, Jolliffe, Clark, it's a little bit uninspiring at the moment. Like I don't know who wins. I lean with the Belmore theory like you. I think they've been tough without being successful. The first few weeks, the only change they've got is Liam Knight in after Pallasa unfortunately got KO'd off the kickoff first play last week. So middle wise again, I still don't think they win many matchups, but the emotion of the day, I'd like to see a late change for Sexton to come in. I just think they lack something in their halves again, or they lack in their spine at this current point in time. I'd like to see Connor Tracey go to one. I think they need someone with a bit more spark. I do like Taff, but Taff's the sort of guy you play at the back when you've got a good forward pack. And he gets an opportunity to ball play off the back of it because he's come through as that half style player. Tracy, similar deal, was an Aussie schoolboy six, a natural runner, but he's a bit thicker. He's got a bit more burst on the return. I don't subscribe to the whole thing about moving Crichton out of the centres. I like that stack left edge. But I just think for now, if Taff's playing for me, he's in the halves. So if that means Burton flipped, Carraz went to a wing to strengthen that. Tracy goes to the one, and I lean into my back five being elite, fast, and strong. Let Sexton and Taff play in the halves. Let them bring some creativity because you're lacking in your forwards.
Oh, I agree, mate. And look, both sides have been up against it from an injury side of things. You're not seeing the best 17 on paper here, and nor has the start of the season really allowed for that. I'm with you. I would have liked to have, if everyone was fit, Connor Tracey back at one. I thought he did an exceptional job for the Sharks last year. When they picked him up, it sort of was like, that makes sense, even though they'd already got Crichton, they'd already then went after Taff. I understand that. But I'm with you. I would like to see, and maybe that happens in the coming weeks. And it's the same with the Titans. I can understand they want Campbell to be at the back, but I would have also put Brimson to fullback as well. He's played bloody fullback for Queensland. Like, I understand what they're trying to do, and we don't want to disrupt it. But whoever loses this week, something's got to change the week after. Like, I know that the Titans just had coming off the bye, but if they don't deliver here, there's going to need to be some sort of change. I understand it's still be 1 or 2 weeks away. Those guys coming back for injury aren't going to be primed either. If the Dogs go down, this is the blow up that's going to need to happen in the coming weeks, where, okay, you've got so many options in the spine, you've got so many options from a utility side of things. He may be spoilt for choice, Serato, but I think what's going to work in his favor this week is, I think the Titans are still worse off than the Dogs at the moment. And coming off that round one, who knows what the mad scientist Dez has done in the bye week and how they turn up here and how they travel. But they got wrecked by the Dragons, who got wrecked by the Dolphins. That's the only form line I can go off. Plus, it's the Dogs at Belmore. I wouldn't be touching it. I wouldn't be touching it with a start. I wouldn't be touching anything. However, I think this is a game that the Dogs get their 2 points and get in the W.
Yeah, well, I hope they turn up with a bit of spark. I think they've at least shown some resilience and some spirit in their defense. The attacks lacked a bit, but if there's ever a game here, they might get the 50-50. I think this is it. So, with you, in terms of the head-to-head with bluebet.com.au, I'm not touching it, but the Dogs are a slight favorite. They're $1.80. The Titans are $2. But the try scorer market, if you're like me and yourself, and you just, when you're watching a game, just a little point of interest. I said it here before. Tino loves a junk try against some of the teams that are considered at the bottom end. So he's not as big as I'd like him to be, but 450. These are the sort of games where you find him just skittling a couple of blokes or crashing in. But there's a man here with a big price tag who I hope sees a bit more football this week. He showed some fight last week, and he was obviously an absolute weapon when he was at Penrith. But I think if there's a week for big kicks to cross over, he's 350 here against the Gold
Yoink.
Coast. So him on that left-hand side at 350 is staring me right in the eyes, and a bit of a sneaky one. He's a bit of a grinder. I think he was the underrated buy for them. Was Josh Curran? He's been good, but this feels like an ugly game with a few just dodgy forward tries. So if you want a bit of sloppy outside value, he's been playing about 60 minutes. He doesn't mind running a line or a dirty crash. I could see, that one at a bit of value, but the two I'd be really eyeing are Tino and Kikau. But yeah, keep a tenner on that. Nothing more, nothing less, I'd say. As we move on, the Dragons from riding the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, great round one win to getting pumped 38-0 by the Dolphins. Flanagan, harsh words, harsh comments, but that's what I love about him. He's at least blunt, he's honest, he's up front. They travel now back home after 2 weeks in Queensland up against the Cowboys, who, similar deal, could have won by 60 points week one, but you could see the James Maloney effect in their attack. And then again, last week, you could see a bit of the James Maloney effect. They made a lot of errors, but somehow they got out of jail. And I thought their coach, Todd Payton, summed it up when he said the only part of that game he enjoyed was the last 10 seconds when they kicked the field goal. So, yeah. Val Holmes has never had a worse day in his career. I don't think I've seen, again, similar to the Roosters, more errors and more penalties. I think combine that about 35 negative plays between them, and they still won. That's about the only positive I could take out of it.
That is the only positive that they got the win. And you know, they're 2-0. The Dragons just fell off the cliff. Like Sunday night was an absolute horror show. Any momentum that they had, you know, I saw Ben Hunt come out today and sort of say that, you know, probably fool's gold, got the win, thought we could do it easy. Doesn't really get any easier here. Like the
Yeah.
Cowboys are going to be buoyed by the fact that they got a win that they shouldn't have last week by all arguments. Knights kind of went to sleep, you know, still talking about last year and this and that. It's all time to move on. Even though it's at Kogarah, I'm going the Cowboys here. I think as clunky as last Saturday was, I think there's more upside to them refining their combinations. Chad and Did, and you know, probably still haven't found a great rhythm to start the year, but there were signs. Drinkwater as well coming in. I think Drinkwater is going to be the difference for me. I love Scott Drinkwater. His link plays, what he does at the back, how much many meters he makes. Think as it came in, just yeah, I was pretty shocked by how bad the Dragons were
I
on
was there.
Sunday night. And you know, what's it going to be? 6 days to turn that around. It might be a couple of weeks. That one might stick with them for a long while because they should have had a better outing. Whereas the Cowboys were dead and buried and grabbed a W from nowhere to get the 2 points. So yeah, I'm going with the cows here, mate. Nothing would shock me, but where it sits at the moment, yeah, I think the Cowboys have far more upside.
Yeah, I can see the Cowboys again, maybe inviting them in from more of their own personal play. But I think that the Cowboys last year, this is the thing, they started a bit rough. They lost these games and then they tried to play catch up, whereas this year they've jagged too early. This is another one of those ones I think they look at as a team that's probably going to have four or five Origin players potentially and go, like, these are the ones we need to get. Because at least if we fall in that hole again or we have a few injuries, like they've lost Lukie now, and they've had a bit of a rough start in that regard. Lost Test for the season. It's just another one. Like we need to win these sort of games. So I expect more energy from the Dragons. He's had to make a couple of changes. He's got Lucci now starting in the back row this week. Jesse Marski, a well-earned debut. He's been a long time around Cup. His brother obviously got some games at the Roosters, but he was really, really good for Norths last year. He had a massive pre-season. He's played halves. He's played hooker. Gets a start with no Little and I think Mulhausen, they're obviously not going to rely on him. He's a smaller body to play a full game. So congrats to him. But Viliami-Fifita, he rolls back in on the bench. He had a good debut the week before. Pretty mobile with Francis Molo getting suspended. I think the thing with the Cowboys, I love Kulikefu, but I don't know if Payton's going to ask him to go 80 in his first start. I think he might roll Kaczewski in and give him maybe 20, 30 minutes there and try and pull a good 60. The one thing that kills me every week for them, and it's only hurt me now that they've lost Hess and now they've lost Lukey for a little bit, the Granville spot. I know they love Granville. I'm sure he's great around the group. He's played for a long time. They use him more as like just a 13 type middle now. But most weeks when I see him, I prefer young Tom Chester who covers 1, 7, 13, bunch of positions or an extra forward. Because I look at Cotter and go, you've got natural halves, sorry, hooker sort of coverage there. If you drop one of your halves, like most of the time teams play with one half and just put a back row or a centre in that sort of spot. I just look at the Granville one a lot of the time. And now they've admitted that Taumalolo carries a knee problem. I just sort of want an extra forward. So their bench isn't as aggressive as I'd like it to be. Neem's a good player, but yeah, I'm sort of with you. Between Drinkwater, Holmes, Tommy Dearden's been great. I think they should have more points here.
Dearden's got more upside for me, and it's probably just kind of just comparing Flanagan to Dearden. I think Dearden can take the game on and take it away from the Dragons if the opportunity presents itself. I understand exactly where your head's at with Granville, and look, they might be just be a bit skint on size at the moment, and they probably would have picked him anyway because they do love him. But all I can see is I know look, Cotter probably moves and plays more as a middle. Maybe even he covers has a bit of an edge coverage if Granville comes in. But yeah, it's look, it's I liked what I saw in the Dragons round one, but it was against the Titans, and I don't know if it was that the Dragons really good or the Titans really really shit. And that's at the end of this round we'll probably have a greater form line. But the Cowboys, yeah, there's probably just a bit too much class there if they get it right, and I think they're closer to getting it right than after that heavy defeat last week for the Dragons.
Yeah, I think the other thing, last week, the Dolphins made three errors. So they showed that if you're going to go 50-50, they sort of took the gas out of the tank and the Dragons didn't really fire for points. Like Sloan's individually brilliant, but bar that, they don't have a lot of points there where you look and go, he's scary, he's dangerous, he can blow us away. They're a very rough side. Like Titans gave him nine errors in the second half the other week and they took full advantage. That's the only thing that worries me a little bit about the Cowboys. If they have another week where they give penalties and possession away, this back five for the Dragons will work hard. We'll get them downfield. The forward pack, it's better now with Lucci and Sewer on the edges. They like to just hit back rowers and play with their back five. But if they clean things up error-wise, I just think there's more points. Labor had a really good week one. He was quiet last week. But yeah, I just sort of look at it this week and think they're going to really lean into those veterans. They're going to lean into Cotter, McLean, Taumalolo, and they're going to need to tighten up for a few weeks now that they've lost a couple of guys in Hess and Lukey, just to not put too much strain on some of those bench guys, I guess. But I'm with you. Drinkwater is the real point of difference. I think he's been okay the first 2 weeks, but I think this is breakout week.
Yeah, it could be his coming out party. I mean, there's a couple of little matchups that are intriguing. Leilua has obviously, left the Cowboys pretty bloody quickly and back down to the Dragons up against his old team straight away. Probably want to see a bit more of Jeremiah Nanai as well. Like, I think if this is a game to get him punching out, as I said, the Cowboys, no one player's really stood up to really stamp their authority on a win yet. And it is early in the season, but I can just see that, taking this game by the scruff of the neck, he's probably going to sit with, as you said, a couple of the veterans. Taumalolo, I think Cotter, whilst young, is an old head. He's played for Australia. He's killing it for Queensland. Like, these are the games where you say, I know it's a shit travel, it's a shit away game, but, really punch from the front. The Dragons are going to be up. They've got no excuse to not be up after last week. If anything is registered at training from what Flanagan said, I mean, you're hearing about every second night on Channel 9. Like, obviously, Flanagan must have a bloody, string can and tins to, Danny Wilder or anyone else at the moment, whoever wants to talk. But there's a lot of chatter coming out of him where the guys are happy and stuff like,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They've got a show on the field. Week one was good. Week two was pretty rugged. They've got an incentive to turn up this week, but yeah, it's the cows for me, mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. And with that, with bluebet.com.au, favourites on the road, $1.42, 285 are the Dragons, 7.5 the start. Again, like I think they'll be closer, but I don't know if I want to mess with points. I think I just take the Cowboys head to head. If that's what you're on about. And try scorers, Drinkwater again, I think better week for him. He's 250. I've liked it in the first 2 weeks, but if I was going to have a pop at someone at a bit of value now, he gets a start. If they're inside 20, I know Nenai's a sneak for kicks and contests and playing short, but Fini Fuiaki is an absolute beast. And playing on that edge, if they can isolate him, get him nice and deep in the line and get him a one-on-one, he is pretty likely, I think, to win a matchup there. So 375 for Fini Fuiaki to crash over. But similar to what you said before, an old vengeance try against an old club or a bit of motivation. Lucci is the sort of player that generally finds a bit of a lift when things get a bit personal. I don't know if I'd be backing it, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Lucci find a crash over here at $5.
Yeah, it might be a spiteful try if you can find it. But yeah, it might have something small on those as an interest. But yeah, look, I'd probably look to maybe just include the Cowboys, maybe even Cowboys with a fraction of a start, even just to fatten up a multi-mate. It's another look game for me on that Saturday afternoon.
It's that week three, like these sort of teams, Dragons have played Knights, Dolphins, and then you've got Dragons, like you said, they've played Titans, Dolphins gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. Sort of one of those ones again where you're feeling out where you think teams belong. So nothing too crazy, but I'll stick with the try scorers. And it wraps up Saturday night. Another homecoming, but I don't think this one's going to be as positive. The Tigers, after another tumultuous week at Leichhardt up against the Sharkies. I know Britton Okora is suspended. But that doesn't deter me at all. I roll Jack Williams in there. He can play middle. He can play edge. If they're not happy with that, Billy Burns is there. They can roll him in. If they wanted to plug that up another way, they easily could if they're just looking for someone to tie it down defensively. But the biggest thing here is last week, the 18-year-old kid looked like the most competent and most effort-filled player on the field besides Dareen Buller. So why I sit there and go, that's a massive positive for the Tigers in those two young players, and then Fainu having a good stint off the bench. It just sort of reiterated the same old, same old. You can talk, you can complain, like all the paranoia and stuff about the media, and everyone's always after us. But at the end of the day, just focus on football. And they just, yeah.
Yeah, I was with you, mate. I listened to, Box and you guys talking about Galvin, and it was interesting getting his take. Like, when the 18-year-old kid, and the same with Buller at the back of the two shining lights, that should be the icing on the cake, not the cake.
Yeah.
This is the young kids. Geez, they showed a bit. Yeah, there's a bit of upside there. Not that they were the best players.
No.
Benji swung the axe. Sullivan's out. Caesar comes in. I understand. Fraction injured at the start of the year, but like for me, I would have had Caesar there as the old head to support the kid. I don't think
Going to
Jaden
play
Sullivan's
Galvin,
the.
that's the right person to put with him.
Yeah, I don't think Sullivan's the player. He's taken a substantial amount of cash to probably what's going to have a year in cup, and I think that's probably where he will stay if Caesar and that stays fit, because the education that Galvin's going to get is going to be better placed with Caesar, in my opinion. Like, for me, in a word, it's the Sharks. I don't really care. I understand it's at Leichhardt. A Saturday night as opposed to, the typical Sunday on the hill there. I just think there's too much punch. And I can see some damage with even guys like Talakai and Mulitalo on the edge there. There's just going to be too many points. And it could be a day out for Nico. Like, you talk about different things. Like, Nico could score 10 plus points himself and using that into a bet. But I just can't touch the Tigers. They had the bye, but even last week, I thought the Raiders were strong, but they weren't exceptional either. And that's the and Box said as much as well. But the Tigers, just as you said, to have an 18-year-old kid be one of the only standouts, there's some glaring issues there. They get a big chance to turn around, home crowd, I get behind that. But Sharks 2-0, they took the win against New Zealand round one. I don't think Leichhardt's the fortress that it used to be, and even on a
They've won there
Saturday
plenty of
night.
times.
No, it's not. And if you're a Tigers fan, like to be somewhat a fraction kind, is they're still trying to work it out and stuff. But I think this is the side that has far more upside than what was presented last week. And I understand injury might have played their part, but I just couldn't understand the side that they tipped out last week. I thought it was going to be cannon fodder against the Raiders, and that's how it turned out. But I just think the Sharks will be way too strong here in this one. Too much class.
Stafford Tower ankle surgery. Ollum wasn't supposed to be back apparently for another week or two, but he's going to make his debut. So in and out, straight swap there. Fatape gets another game. It was a rough week to debut. I'm in the centres when your team's playing off the back foot, but I think my big challenge here is to the middle. Like, I know Paul Clem has probably heard a lot of talk about him and trying to get him out the door. So that's always hard for motivation. But like, people like Bateman, since he's got there, he's been injured. He hasn't played that well. He's taken a big pay packet to come back to Australia. He was more interested last week in trying to find a fight on that edge with Strange or Hudson Young. I think it's real apparent on a few blokes, including Clemmer, Papali'i, Bateman. But the big one for me, and he's been linked to the Storm this week, is Youtu Kounmonu. For all the talk, and I watched him as a junior, and I'm big on junior footy guys. I know it's hard to stand out in that team, but you've played in Origin now. You've been in grade for almost 4 years, 5 years. Like, for all the talk and hype that's linked around him, he needs to individually pretty much take a Payne Haas stance. Like, as bad as things were at Brisbane for a few years, if there was one thing you could rely on, it was Payne Haas just doing his job. Nothing ever stopped him from basically every week just putting his hand up and going, "Look at me. I'm the best, or if not, a top three front row in this comp. I'm a rep player." And I keep hearing about Stefano and he's this and he's that and he's got this clause and he's going to do this. I'm like, mate, well, to be honest, at the moment, if you're a Melbourne or a Roosters or any big club and everyone's saying, "Oh, someone would be interested in him," I don't have a whole lot of interest in him because I don't think he consistently dominates. So I don't think he plays, probably up to the billing he's been given. I know he's got the ability because I watched him come through the grades, but he's probably the one I'm looking at right now there and thinking, well, if you've played that Origin game now, take a step forward, lead this forward pack.
I think that's the whole idea of why that was the theory in bringing him into camp. So he would go back and make the club side better. Like I think he got dicked around in the Origin setup. I didn't think he was worthy of a selection in the first place, let alone tipping him out. And so he might have come back a bit less confident. But yeah, you're 100% right, mate. I think he needs to show a bit more. There's so much upside, like with some of the names in the Tigers, but you just haven't seen them gel, and you didn't see it in the trials either. So it's not like you're having a crack at them for round one. I'll just backtrack a bit. Like Sullivan hasn't been dropped; he's on the bench. I equally don't understand that theory with Caesar being named at 14 last week, Sullivan coming on. You're either telling one half, and I understand it might be coverage for Galvin, but you're telling one half that you might get 60, or we might work you on. I'd rather see like a guy like Sim can come on where you can make him cover nine, or you tip Arpy out to six, or whatever the story may be. I still don't understand the selection. Like, I think you've got the kid who's 18 has shown the two older heads up, or the guys who are older than him, that he's the better option in the preseason. That was all the chatter. They're trying to force it in to say, oh, this is how we'll rotate. Like, I don't think the Sharks will let them rotate. I don't see the benefit in bringing in someone in garbage time with 15 or 20 to go, or equally hooking someone after 50 minutes. That's not going to be great for the confidence either. If Arpy's going to play, and there's also not a need to cover nine if Arpy's going to play the 80. So I sort of don't understand the rationale with Sullivan there. I would have had Sullivan go back and say, go and earn your stripes again in cup, come back in. And if Galvin need to tip him out in a couple of weeks, if he is starting to have the wear and tear with the as the kids do, then that would be the time to recall him, and that would be the conversation. But yeah, I didn't understand. I still don't understand the Caesar Sullivan relationship with being on the bench. Neither of them are that, so I don't understand the coverage point there.
The other one for me, I know I watched Fa'atape play cup for a couple of years. I know he's got this opportunity. Naden's injured. Tyler's injured. They've had a couple of guys they've been waiting on. But Asu Kapara is a guy I actually don't mind. They put a bit of size on him. They wanted to turn him into a back row, but he's played at centre. I just think, again, in this current climate or environment, it's a big ask for a guy to be playing in that position in a team off the back foot when you're getting beat to the middle. So I probably would have leaned into a Kapala. I know he's probably a bit bigger than what he was when he was a centre winger. But just for now, I think they need to tighten up in as many spots as they can, especially when you've got a rookie inside him. Yeah,
And
I
look,
think we're both on the Sharks. We could go all night about the Tiggies. But yeah, like hard or not, I think the Sharks have shown one thing that I haven't seen the last few years. They're willing to be gritty. They've always been willing to bash the teams at the bottom. They've beaten the teams out the upside eight. They've racked up scores, but I think the first two rounds, when they've been challenged, even against the Bulldogs last week, the side that's starting to come through finally in year three is what Fitzgibbon was talked about to be, a defensive coach, a gritty coach, doing the little things right. And I think they've been winning off that side of things and their back five, who are extremely talented. They do really well from the back end of the field.
Yeah, they're massive as well, and I like it this year compared to last year with Trindle coming in as the six. And like they finished in prelims with Moylan, who was a little bit hot and cold and had improved in years gone by. But I think as this combination builds with Trindle and Hines, that's where the upside is. And in the counter argument against the Tigers for what we've just covered for the last sort of 5 or 10, minutes or so is exactly that, is when you have the outside backs who are going to charge through and make meters and even be defensively solid, and you've got the forward pack, even a guy like Hazelton coming off the bench who's a monster,
They're doing a good job.
and they've got the coverage, is there, I think the halves are going to stand up. And Nico is, particularly in clubland and against a team like this, I see the Sharks here. I'm sure a lot of Tigers fans would love to and get the win and you know tick another one off at Leichhardt, but this early in the season, for what you've seen, it's Sharks one way for me.
Yeah, and with bluebet.com that year, they're $1.26. The Tigers 3.90, 11.5 to start. I'm not going there, but I'm going where I went last week again. I like the left edge. You do as well. You've got
Yeah.
Sifatalakai, you've got Mulatalo. They work really well together. But I also said it last week, that sort of Trindle, he doesn't run all the time, but he's a real threat. He scored one last week, and Kennedy sweeping around there. They're all sort of working in nicely together. Teague had a blinder. They're really building a dangerous edge, and spoke about it in the preseason. With him coming in and Kennedy coming back, he's got a genuine ball playing seven now with him, Nico. He doesn't need to have all the touches, all the responsibility, flip both sides of the field and feel like he has to run everything. Trindle and Kennedy both have the ability to run, link, and take pressure off him and balance things out. So I really like the construction of their left edge. So take your pick there. Talakai's 287, Teague 320, Trindle 340. Mully's obviously always short. He's $1.57, but I think there'll be multiple try scorers on the left edge for the Sharks.
Yeah, I had a look earlier. The Talakai Mulatalo double is around $4, you know, and that might be the one. If they cut them to ribbons once, I think they're going to go a couple of times down there. That's where I'd be looking. And as I said, look, they're both big bodies. Mulatalo's, you know, efforts last week were massive, and I think he's going to, you know, bounce, you know, continue that form in round three.
If you wanted a roughie, if you're a Tigers fan, I think there's only one person every week who looks a real threat, and that's Buller. He's 375. He's got that big body. He's got that loping Inglis sort of running palm about him. But yeah, he had a nice moment last week, obviously, with Galvin back on the inside there with Fainu. But yeah, he always looks dangerous. But early rounds, already some questions. My other thing, and I sort of spoke about this in the review. If Galvin gets a bit tired or a bit beaten up, they need to tip him out. I know it's probably looking at your future there, but you also need to consider his well-being. This is a kid that could still be playing SG ball, then another couple of years of flag into cup. Like in the ladder of progression, and I've said this last year with De Silva and a lot of guys, they're further along than what they should be. Not because they're not talented enough, because of the deficit in talent and what they can get to the club there. They're really putting a lot of some of these kids, and I just hope, if it gets to a point where he is a bit beaten up or he is struggling with the load or the training, they look at him and they go, look, may hurt us or it may not be the best thing for us, but Sullivan has to play or someone has to play. They've got to think about this kid long term.
Yeah, and that's the same argument before, like saying thinking Sullivan had been dropped down, he's at 14, is, you know, having a guy come in and pick 15 minutes up, say that does occur and Galvin does have to slide back or get a rest or even just gets rested for a couple of weeks or whatever the story may be, is giving Sullivan 10 minutes, 15 minutes here or equally on the other side, Caesar doing the
Better
same
off
thing,
playing cup.
that's not conducive to setups and everything else. So I don't understand the rationale here. I would have liked to have seen Sullivan slide back to cup, maybe have Simpkins come in on the bench where, you know, Arpy at a pinch can go and play seven and he's done it. Or they just can have a man to catch and pass, and away you go. If something does go wrong, there is going to be some coverage there. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, a number of halfbacks are being pulled and sacked and, you know, benched and whatever else. Tigers fit that bill for this week. I think they do look stronger here, but not as strong as the Sharks.
Well, let's hope they bring some spirit for their fans at Leichhardt. They only get a couple of games there every year. And the last few years, it hasn't been as happy a hunting ground as what it has been. And fingers crossed they turn up with a bit of dog and get stuck into the Sharks. But we move on Sunday to close us out. An absolute belter of a game. The old 80s rivalry. It's the Eels up against Manly. And looking at that one, I know the injuries last week. I was surprised to see Kelmer still named on the bench. He dislocated his shoulder. They were worried about him being busted, but already named. I don't know how confident I am in that. It's the truth. I've had a shoulder reconstruction. I've also popped it out before. You generally aren't feeling too crash hot with only a week turnaround. It generally takes a few weeks to not feel tender, let alone do a bit of rehab and strap it back up. But maybe it wasn't as severe, or maybe the ligaments weren't as stretched as much. But a few changes here. They've ditched Hands, so they've gone solid with Lussick. He said in the preseason he wanted an 80-minute hooker, not to carry one. So 2 games in, he's made that decision. He's also got Morgan Harper out to the wing now because of the injury that they've had with Simonsen missing with a week. And we've talked about him being a light on, but Blaise Talangi, outstanding kid, comes to the grades, plays six, plays one, plays centre. It's a big ask playing in the centres against Garrick or Cooler. I think he's going to be over on the left-hand side, so it's Garrick that's going to be running at him. But also with that, sitting inside Garrick is Ola Kuatu, so that's a massive ask for a young kid. But their forward pack was great last week. I know the edges really sort of hurt them, like your Hopgoods, Regan getting stuck in. Junior looks as fit as he ever has. This is going to be a belter of a matchup in terms of forwards, but maybe that hole out on the edge, bringing a kid in and having Harper go to the wing where it's a bit of a different defensive role compared to, say, the centres may give Manly a bit of a favourable matchup there.
I agree, mate. It's the outside backs for me where the difference lies. And you saw what happened last week with Harper having a slide. I'm a bit surprised that he's retained the wing position. I understand you're going to have coverage there, but yeah, on the counter side, I've been really impressed with Cooler. I was impressed with him last year, but for Manly, he's been A1. Garrick equally. He's made that transition to centres. Without any issues. And I think that's where it's going to lie. The engine room, and you said the comparison, Parramatta were fantastic last week. Campbell Gillard was monstrous. Cartwright's come of age. The Cartwright that we saw when he left Panthers and went to the Titans and sort of jumped around wilderness to wilderness for a few years, he's come and gone. The last 24 months, he's been rock solid. He was a threat every time on last Friday night, standing on the hill with a couple of super drives under the belt. But Lane also. So the forward pack isn't the issue. The halves aren't the issue. I think the halves complement each other too. They rule each other out. Brown and Brooks. Brooks has been fantastic. Moses and that fraction quiet, but he's got the talent there. And Cherry Evans is getting, he's like fine wine. He's getting better with age. It's the outside backs, Harper, Pennicini, Tolagi, and Russell up against. Whilst you still have some juniors in Paulo and Vega on the side, it's the centers. And I think that's where the damage is going to be done. And you touched on it earlier. Ola Kuatu is an absolute menace. Like on Sunday, he took tackle two and then ran it again for tackle four, still dragged four blokes over the line. Got a pretty ordinary call and super slow-mo that he'd lost it and everything else. Like he is attracting and needing to attract three players at each stage. I can just see Harper or even Tulagi or Pennicini, making the decision to read him and just opening up for the flanks there. And that's where it's going to be. Gutherson and Turbo equally rule each other out. Clint Gutherson might be one of the better club players to ever, like what he turns in every week, what he does defensively is absolutely rock solid. It pains me as a Penrith fan to say as much, but that's the reality of it. Like he's a freak and he plays the full 80, but it's the back line for me, mate. I think that's exactly where the issues lie for Parramatta. I am favouring Manly just. It's the place is going to be rocking. As I said, this could arguably be match of the round. And when you have Roosters and Souths on the rivalry on Friday night and a grand final replay, you probably wouldn't have thought that would have been the statement. But Parramatta at home, they're not going to lay down either. So I think it is literally a flip of the coin. I am favouring Manly just because of those points. But this could be anything. I think it's going to be an absolute corker on Sunday.
And I'm similar deal. Just after last week, I like Talangi, but this is a hard week to come in. And if he is on that side, like the Garrick matchup, I think speed wise is less of an issue than Cooler, but physically Garrick's big. But there's no doubt Ola Kuatu can still post up on him. He can get one more boy across and get at the back row. He can get at the half. Lane and Brown are very, very good defensively, so they're going to have to do a bit of a job and try and protect Blaze and try and not let him get isolated, but. That forward matchup again is an absolute ding dong battle. Two great packs. Brooks, it's been nice to see him after years of criticism go to a team where he's got a bit of help and you see that talent shine through. It was always there. I wanted him to see him leave earlier. He just looked like a bloke that was almost resigned to the fact that his loyalty and the situation was going to consume him. But two games in here, I know he's bombed like three tries, but he's also looked dangerous every time he scored and he's jagged a couple. It's nice to see.
Well, look, I'm happy for him, and I saw Gallen the other night say the same thing. Like, it wasn't like he stayed for a ham sandwich. He was on massive cash at the Tigers and whatever else. I just think the management of the Tigers just didn't help him, and the players around him weren't of the caliber here. It is great to see him in a system, and it's also dangerous. Like, you know, tip Manly to finish outside the eight. I've got them. If I was redoing it now, they're straight back in from what they've shown.
Mate, these
Because,
two I left out. These are the two I'm looking at now. If you said, all right, you get
yeah.
one or two in, one or two out, these are the two I'd be looking at going, well, I might reconsider these two.
Oh, look, I'd be having Manly back in
All right, see how it's
ASAP if I
out.
could, because the thought of what Brooks has done, but not only DCE, like it's DCE is getting better and he's had to do it all for the last few seasons. And then Tom's been injured and Garrick's gone to the back. If they keep this up, they're a threat on each side. And Cherry Evans is still popping up, playing both sides of the edge. Brooks is just doing what he needs to do. He's doing what a 5-8 would. And maybe that was also the part. Maybe as a half, that wasn't his best position. He might have been a better running six because he has been threatening. But it's gonna be a cracking game. Look, even last Friday night, seeing Jermaine Hopgood again, like it's I can't be filthy on Penrith letting any guys go, but he's an absolute Trojan. And the amount of work that he gets through and he's tough as I think he's a real smoky for Queensland later this year.
You would have been close last year, but I think a full season, getting a first full season NRL, he flattened out a little bit in the middle, not because he was struggling, but it's a big ask your first year. I'm with you that this year might be the difference. He's got one under his belt. He's done a few pre-seasons. He looks primed to sort of play one of those roles for them where it's just like, mate, we don't care what size you are. We can throw you in the middle and you just go mental for us. They love a Cotter. They love a Hopgood. They love that type of bloke just to come in and put a maroon jersey on and they look like they're 120 kilos and 6'4".
But the other thing, he was a concert. He was sort of a. It was a consequence of Parramatta being injury riddled and suspended, and you know stand downs with
Opportunity
Brown and
too.
stuff. Like they're always going to plateau and fade a fraction, and that's what I guess. If they stay fit, you know, like they were in control. Penrith's defense last Friday night wasn't that crash hot early doors, and Parramatta could have skipped away. Injuries didn't allow for it. Penrith's quality probably got the better of them, particularly in the latter stages. But the ones that stood up for me, it's Hopgood. You know, he's probably my favorite within that Parramatta system. Forget the Penrith thing, just what he does workhorse wise. But I think he's matched again. You know, Jake Turbo, been critical in years gone by, whether he's used in the right spot and how he goes about it. He's had a great start of the season. I think it's just a great game of footy on a Sunday, mate. It's as simple as that. I am favouring Manly just, but nothing would shock me. I'd actually be betting with Parramatta with the start rather than Manly. You know, take Parramatta with a start, maybe even a healthy start. I don't think even if they get done, they're not going to be done by many. I think it's maybe even a 1-12 either side bet if that option's there. It's going to be a tight one, and I think it's going to be an absolute cracker.
And with bluebet.com.au, Parramatta slight favourites at the moment, being at home, they're $1.85. Manly, $1.95. If you like the 1-12s, the Eels, 3.10, 3.20, the Sea Eagles. This is one of those ones similar to you, the old margin market sometimes when you go the either team by 12 or less. I could see that sort of result. Given, that you look at this sort of game and think, oh, yeah, these two are going to go pretty tight. But in terms of try scorers, just points to the field, like we talked about, the real obvious one is as much as I think Lane and particularly Dylan Brown, one of the better defensive halves, if they can get after Taulagi, that right-hand side of the field, we know Tom likes to sweep both ways, but Olakau'atu, he's at 340, Reuben Garrick at three. So if either of them get a one-on-one or a bit of opportunity. On the flip of that, though, as much as I love Cherry, it's not so much his defensive technique. He's good defensively. He just has the tendency at times to want to come in and solve. So he can leave space there. And Dylan Brown last week, he told some good lies with the way he ball plays. He got deep into the line. He had a nice short one there for Lane. So as equally as them trying to help a possible debutant in Taulagi on that edge, I think those two at that DCE space. For Parramatta, Brown, you'd get $4 with Bluebet, and Shaun Lane is $5. So that's real good odds for a back row.
And you go 2 in 2 weeks, you know, it could easily happen. I'd probably be thinking maybe Cooler. I like Cooler on that edge. I think he can maybe punch through. Still scratching my head about Olakau'atu, how he didn't score last week. He scored in round one. I'd find some there. And as I said, like what he might do is create a few chances for the guys on the outside of him. He may be that sort of what Kikau was discussed about in a few years ago, where you start to use him as a decoy and he becomes just as threatening as that, where you're starting to suck three in and spinning it out the back. I think he's an absolute stud. You know, it's very early to talk about Origin, but he's got a blue jersey for me. You know,
Definitely.
pick your number, mate. Whatever number you want, it's all yours. That's where it's at. But I'll be looking for him to you know, I'd find Olakau'atu to maybe score a try. If Manly win, I think he's going close to scoring, if not scoring, or laying a couple on.
Well, if you like cooler on that left-hand side up against Penasini and Moses, he is $3.40 on that left attacking that right edge. So a couple of value for a few guys and what is a great matchup between two clubs, particularly like I said, that 80s rivalry where it really got built. But we wrap things up, the Knights, big week for them as well with the talk about Hastings, Cogger getting his opportunity. He comes in to start at halfback. It wasn't actually the half that I thought was going to be dropped. I thought they were going to move Gamble out and
For
stick with
sure.
Hastings, but hasn't gone that way. Ty Pierce-Paul, he maintains that back row spot. Dylan Lucas back healthy this week, named in the 21. Wondering if they'll make a late change. If he had a good enough off-season to be named the starting back row, it wouldn't surprise me to see a late change, maybe even if he swaps with Jed. I heard there were some questions around Hetherington and an injury, but he's been named for now. Brayley's on the bench. I heard he has to pass a fitness test. So still some questions here. There could be a few late changes, but a big blow for them. Losing Dom Young was big for yardage and finishing, but Marju, they've leaned on him the first few weeks. He's fractured his wrist, so he's out as well. He's a real big point to set start for them. So Tuala's back from his quad injury. Jenkins in on the other wing. I think they're going to really lean into Gagai, who does a hell of a lot of yardage work, but Bradman Best needs to pick up his game and help out in that regard. Melbourne, cruel week. Oh, it sound biased or not, I think the Hughes suspension's a crock of shit. I don't
Yes,
understand
that's
where, like, if he don't, like, he could have done what Trindle did. I didn't have a problem with that either. Like, sort of ran in the ref. He wasn't going to stop kick out, but he's initiated contact because it gets whistled up. He sort of drifted into the eye line. He thought his inside shoulder space, Berry was swerving. He's given the tiniest of nudges. It was more even the grading for me, though. It was a grade two contrary conduct, which means if they fought it, he gets 2 weeks. People are saying, well, they should have fought it. To be honest, you don't win there anymore. I think Melbourne know
No.
that. They've looked at the bye, they've looked at that, they're missing Munster. So for them now, it's a big week. You've got Pezzett, who's been good, but now Wishart is playing seven. It's huge to lose both your halves, a New Zealand international and an Australian international. I was really hoping that Sua would be rolled in some form. He scored a hat trick on the weekend, but he hurt his ankle.
Okay.
So I thought they might have done a Pappenhausen Sua 1-6 sort of flip just to try and throw, caution to the wind and lean into their forwards and tighten up. But I think with this combination right here, you know what's going to happen. They're going to kick early, they're going to tighten the belt up, and they're just going to try and grind their way to an ugly ass win defending.
Yeah. For anyone, check the highlights from Sua, the three tries that
Oh,
he scored. It was
ridiculous. That's
ridiculous,
what killed me. I
ridiculous.
saw it and I was like, they're going to play him this week. And then he didn't get named.
Yeah.
I was like, no. And I saw the injury report. I was like, oh, you're killing me.
It might have been Rugby League Guru or something. Someone shared it. It's freakish. The one where he sort of just jinks and stops on the spot. He literally moves laterally in the air on one foot and then just goes ahead. And you talk about competition, like there's so much upside there. I'm a bit of a head scratcher in the sense that I didn't catch all of the Knights Cowboys game last week, so I couldn't tell whether Hastings was that bad or whether or not Cogger's just going to. I equally at the start of the year, I thought Gamble, if anything, might have been the bench player that could transition to be a 13, call it a Dylan Walker style, and they could still carry Jaden Brayley or what it would have been Phoenix Crossland. Clearly, Adam O'Brien's employed to make these calls and he's made one. And it is what it is. Jack Cogger, for me, I think he's a half. And if he's going to be the one to control them, maybe that's what they think they needed is a bit more of a temperament where you can, get Ponga the ball. I think the forwards have been really strong. Adam Elliott's improved, like not as much improved. I think he's, really transitioning to be like one of the first picked in any sort of fucking team each week. I think he's rock solid. It's a bit of a shame. A, it's a Sunday night game, 6:15, but the outs for Melbourne for me take away to lose both halves. I think Pezzett, to your point, has been really, really strong, but he's had the support of the Hughes and Pappenhausen combination. And Wishart is one of the names down there that has been there for years. He's been part of the system, he's part of that, but there is a talent gulf. So I've noticed that Newcastle are favourite, $1.77 in this one. Melbourne $2.05. It's a bit of a head scratcher in the sense of like I'm probably not betting on the game altogether, just with all the outs, just with the form lines, just with the changes. Melbourne, it really is a shame that on the back of last week, like that miracle escape and what they did against the Warriors, you'd love to go, geez, I want to take a bit of that into next week. And you have Hughes, like, but you're just hoping that they can get something like that. That inside ball play to Pappenhausen is, you know, that's just sex straight up. Like, that is absolutely, and it's great to see it. It's a throwback to the big three from years and years ago. Does that change this week when you don't have your halves laying that on? Does that take away from things? Are you going to see a bit more of a conventional Pappenhausen play? You know, are the Knights going to shit or get off the pot and actually say, well, we've lost two, we've lost a close one. This is the one that we bounce back. They find Melbourne vulnerable. Yeah, it's a strange odds. It's a strange game. It's a tough way to finish the round for me.
But you're not going to get a better chance. No Hughes, no Munster. Nelson's still not in there off an interrupted pre-season, and Welch got a HIA. So they're even lighter on their bench. So not only that, like Bradley, how he plans on using him. I get the tendency now looking at that that he might push a Chan or someone else into the middle to get some minutes because he's got a cover up there. Moroa is a middle. McDonald is a middle. Like they're really going to have to lean into Tui and
Yeah.
Liero this week. And Pez will kick and control most things. Wishart will be similar deal, just make your tackles, run the football, but they're going to be as Barry basic as you can expect Melbourne. This is going to be an Origin type thing when they lose all their players. You go to watch a Melbourne team and it's just kick, complete defence. So with that, I think it's big on a moment from Harry or a moment from Pappenhausen to try and steal this one, but I have no confidence. Like Newcastle have had two really good opportunities. They've missed out on both. They come into a week here. He's made a big call. I think Cogger plays a bit quicker, gets into the line, probably opens up a bit more space as a seven than Hastings does. And they're not going to get Melbourne at a better time. So it pains me to say, but I think Newcastle at home should be winning here. But I just, one thing you know about Melbourne and Craig Bellamy, it doesn't matter who they're named, they wouldn't give nothing away for free. But if I'm Newcastle, I want blood early. I want to get some points early. I want to get some confidence because the last 2 weeks, they've had multiple opportunities in both games. They've got frustrated. They've made errors. And the other two teams have come away with a victory. But they've got a wounded team here right now, missing four quality players that play rep football. You are not going to get Melbourne at a better time.
Yeah, that's right. And I've just seen again, like obviously, you know, the Maju out Jenkins, you know, comes in, or Jenkins getting a start. Like, you know, he was sort of, he missed out in round one and was sort of, it was a bit of a, you know, big upside move to follow Dom Young at the start of the year. I think the Knights have a bit to prove, as you said. They've got to bounce back from the 0-2. Melbourne, you know, I don't think Bellamy will accept any excuses. They've got more than enough excuses with the outs this week. Even the travel, you know, Sunday night game, which is a dog shit time, if I'm being honest. But Newcastle up there, look, they'll probably pack it out, but they've got to show something. And I think, you know, if they get the 2 points and he's made the big call about Cogger for Hastings already, then, you know, that's maybe the big call now where we need a bit of a circuit breaker and this is it. And there might be some instruction now with, you know, guys like Ponga to say, we want to free you up so you're not doing it. Maybe a little bit of ball, a little bit less ball playing, a little bit more involvement just from what you need to do. And Cogger can do that and can steer him around. And he's come of age and he did it for Penrith. Forget the grand final aspect and when he came off the bench and coverage. Like, he was doing that and controlling a team. He has that now in his system. It's been a criticism at times for Hastings and Gamble. And that's, I think, they got on the momentum last year. They had the adrenaline absolutely pumping for a good probably 2 months there. I need to actually build that back up now. And I think they've got the forward pack to do it. As I said, like, I'm a huge fan of Elliott. Frizzell's rock solid. Leo Thompson and the Saifidi brothers, they've got the size to do that. I sort of chipped Melbourne prior to round one that Penrith's side would do this. Like, they're toilers. Like, Chan has been great. Even Liero, you know, he's pushing through in the absence of Nelson. They're getting a lot of meters to the back rowers. But yeah, I'd possibly be thinking even taking Newcastle from a punting perspective, maybe take Newcastle here, even with a little bit of coverage, maybe like a 3.5 or a 4.5. Like, if Melbourne win, I think it's going to be a close one. If they do actually scrap one away. But yeah, I think it might be an ask. I'm going to tip the Knights for the win, but I've maybe taken with a bit of a start if I'm having a bit of a punt.
Yeah, and those odds with bluebet.com.au. The Knights are $1.77 favorite at home. The Storm 205, 1.5 start. I still see it more in the 1-12 category because I just think, you know, with what Melbourne showed defensively and how gritty they are, it's still early in the year. So Newcastle 1-12 is $3, but the big one is the Cogger thing, like you said, is to open up space for Ponga. At the moment, he's coming out the back of those double leads. They're a bit slow through their halves and the ball movement. He's coming up and having to come back in field and getting caught out. I think with Cogger, they're looking for exactly what we saw in the grand final when he came on. He was direct. He engaged the line. He opened things up for Nath to make the decision whether he wanted to run or pass. So if there's a week for Kalen to make an impact, this is it. So he's probably the one I'm looking at. He's 250. I could see him getting at one of those young halves on one of those sweep lines if they dig into the middle and that pack does a job because it is a handy pack. So I don't mind him at 250. For Melbourne, again, like if Pat pulls one out of his backside, that could happen at any moment. He's $2.37, but probably less than the betting side of things. I just think, yeah, if they're going to win, it's going to be real gritty and dirty, and it's going to take a moment from either him or Harry Grant. Because other than that, yeah, taking out Welch, taking out Nelson, take out Munster, take out Hughes. It's a fair deficit in the rugby league team. So Newcastle, same deal. I don't care who it is. If you want things to be quiet in rugby league, you just need to win.
And look, it's not like they've lost the game already. They haven't even, kicked the ball, and they wait until Sunday evening. But if you're a Melbourne fan, like, you've already put two in the bank. One you've grabbed from the absolute clutches, and the other one you beat the defending premiers in an absolute defensive shutout.
Yep.
It's been a great start of the season. This is where you're going to check your coverage. And Wishart has been that fringe player who's popped in and popped out, 20 minutes here, 10 minutes there, origin periods, this and that. Like, can he be the seven? Like, Pezzett's shown some real upside that he can play, that standoff role with someone else there. Can he do it and lead him around on the own? He's re-signed for a decent period of time. It's not like he's going anywhere.
No.
So there is a lot of upside here. And, it's been a lot of these sides where they're depleted and they go away and they galvanize and do that. Bellamy's done that, for 22 years now. It's going to be an interesting look, but yeah, it's going to be a decent game just to see what these changes for both teams are going to do to some of the combinations. And for me, what does that look like in a month's time? Like, who's actually going to start to improve? Who's going to be better placed for getting some minutes now? But yeah, if pushed on a decision, yeah, Knights may be a fraction too strong up there, only because Melbourne have the outs. If it's full strength, Melbourne are getting my money every day of the week. The Knights probably haven't impressed me, but now's the time to turn it. The big call's been made. It's probably, fire to salvo to all the other guys in the team, like your best and gay guys. Like, it's time to stand up. Like, no one's safe. Let's push on.
Well, I know that all I know as a Melbourne fan, I'd love to go 3-0 into the bye into Brisbane. But in these circumstances, I look at the 2-1, and like you said, the two wins we got, still missing some players, are two teams I consider top eight teams. They're the ones that make the difference between being a top four or a top eight side. So as much as I wouldn't like to lose to Newcastle under these circumstances with the two wins they have banked, I'd happily cop that. But that wraps us up in terms of round three and that preview. Thanks to bluebet.com.au. A quick look, though, at the Premiership market after 2 weeks to see if there's much movement. Penrith still $4.25 favourite in the Premiership market. Brisbane 4.50. Melbourne, they've come in from 10 to 8. The Roosters 8, but the big mover is Manly. I think they were closer to the 18, 19, $20 mark. They're now down into $11. So, biggest mover there. Souths have gone out from 8s and 9s to 17. The Warriors are still sitting around the same mark at 19. Sharks 19, Cowboys 15, and Parramatta at 23. Outside of that sort of group, then you're getting the Raiders at 41, Newcastle at 34, Dolphins at 51. Yeah, I don't think much of the back end, but in terms of that movement at the top, not a whole lot. Manly's the only real one that's had a significant price change. Everyone else has sort of only moved 50 cents to a dollar. Wow.
It's yeah, and look, if you had your time again, you can still get into these markets. There's still a lot of value there. We're two rounds in. What's going to be 27? There's a lot of improvement if you and I think this is for me, like, in the next month, like, this is the look. Like, sort of mentioned post that Easter period, but Easter's a little early this year. Prior to Anzac Day, before you get to the origin period, where you're starting to see some form lines, and they will start to see some green shoots for some teams. And coming off the back of that, Melbourne's lineup, you might start to see that now. Going back to the Penrith thing, getting some more minutes into, like, a Liam Henry and a Lindsay Smith in a starting role, what does that do? That's the things you want to see, because that's going to put you in better stead in a month's time. But yeah, a lot of value there, mate, all the same.
Yep, I agree with you there, but mate, another cracker week, like you said, some really good matchups. Grand final rematch, the Roosters Rabbitohs rivalry, Eels Tigers, and then a couple of games just to give us a good gauge where we're at after 3 weeks. A lot can change in a week in the NRL. Lots of talking points already. It seems like every year the pressure just intensifies. But this preview brought to you by bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the TrueBoo bookie. Download the app today or visit the website. And remember, what's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1800 858 858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Best bet and charity bet. There's a couple that stood out. I sort of was thinking more independent from old once Haas pulled out and Reynolds was out about that space, like I said, a Cleary or a Martin to punch one in. But after we talked as well, I didn't mind your idea with the Sharks, which would be the double up in that left edge of a Talakai and a Mully at about four. So I haven't locked one in yet, but if I was looking at anything from what we've ran through, they're probably the two that really stand out to me.
Yeah, I think it's a try scorer a week as opposed to any sort of margins, just given some of the outs and some of the really, really short odds. But yeah, I think across the games, I think you can find some value. I was Bluebet too, one leg fails, bonus bets coming back in, a couple of try scorer multis across the games would be it. But yeah, I do like the Talakai Mulitalo double. I think if the Tigers play like they did last week and the Sharks would play like they did last week, there's going to be some points put on them, despite the Leichhardt factor. And I think it's going to be down that edge. I think they're going to be too big, too strong. So, sort of where, a little bit of my money will go this weekend.
The other one, I know it's a tough matchup, but I just think Olakau'atu is such a handful. And in hard games, generally, you don't play wide a lot. You have to rely on your back row. He's your guy. It doesn't matter what's in front of him. You can put three or four in front of him, but when he gets a one-on-one contact to start with, he'll drag a couple. So if they're inside 10, he's always a threat.
Impressive, absolutely impressive. And he's the sort of guy that, I'm impartial, couldn't really care one way or the other for Manly, but you start to watch what he's doing there when he's on the ball. Anytime he gets it, he's that sort of unit. So yeah, if there are any Manly fans, you've got a good one there. And from a punting perspective, yeah, he's going to find the paint many times this year.
Certainly agree with you there, mate. But I appreciate again you coming on. Like I said to you before, it's always a good time talking footy rather than listening to my voices in my head. And all the feedback for every appearance so far has been great. So I'm sure this one will be loved again by all the listeners. So really appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Not a problem, mate. Keep the voices inside your head, the multiple voices, that is. But yeah, happy to help, mate, in the absence of your big bad brother.
Dad calls me loony for a reason. And it's not just because I'm wild, it's because there's the whole cast of characters living inside this melon. And it's a decent sized melon at that. So we'll wrap things
Is
up.
true.
Cracker weekend ahead. Thank you again, Timmy Witt. Thank you, bluebet.com.au. And to everybody out there, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.